Hello and welcome to Not Famous and Not That Funny. I'm Jackie Piller, your very ordinary host, interviewing comedians who are tired of being a comedy version of Van Gogh minus cutting off an appendage. In this, their 15 minutes of not fame. Today I have with me Andrew Lewis, comedian and radio host. His first memory of getting a laugh was doing observational humour at 5, based upon the antics of Transformers and Astro Boy. Growing up, performing was frowned upon by his family and angrily discouraged, but he persevered. At a backpacker hostel in Byron Bay, he threw his act at the crowd and won them, which was good because they were about to share a bathroom. In the early 2000s, he won a heat of raw comedy at an Irish bar in Frankston, Melbourne town here, and forged on to do regular gigs. And for him, comedy and performing is his whole life. Hi, Andrew, how are you?
Hello, Jackie, I'm very good.
That's awesome. So, Andrew, why aren't you that famous?
Well, no, I think that over the years, like I started off doing comedy probably about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and did 2 or 3 years. And, I suffered from some pretty severe depression and didn't really realise that I was feeling like that. So it wasn't until coming out of that where I thought, oh, hey, things can actually be good. And then feeling better, I got better jokes and, you know, more jokes. And
Did you get jokes from that period, though? Was there...
Yeah, it was not as many as you would like, but there was some funny things.
Wasn't a very funny time, yeah, but there were some funny things.
Yeah, like, the thing that I keep remembering is, tests that they'd make you do, and, blood tests and everything like that, and, it's a bit off-putting, but, I had to test the levels of salt in my body, and the only way to do that was a urine test, and I did that, and they said, oh, you didn't do enough. So I thought, challenge accepted, and I managed to drink in 2.5 litres in a day, and I just said to them, look, if that's not enough, I'm quitting.
And then you flushed all the salt out of your system, haven't you, though?
Probably. this was in a hospital in Mornington, and I'm like, there's absolutely nothing to do here. The other thing was they had these beautiful sweet biscuits, and they were free. So I definitely made the most of those.
But as a struggling comedian, we always need free biscuits.
Free biscuits, free coffee, free... it sounds stupid, but free hot water, because they have one of those urns that, you wouldn't have at home because it costs too much to maintain or run. And I'd be just like, cup of tea, bang, let's have another cup of tea, sweet biscuits, Sayos. No, not Sayos, Savoy's, and you had your own mini bar fridge, had your own TV. That was just, it was a real excuse to get sick.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because I'm not sure what salt's got to do with depression.
I think it was salt, only because the tablet I have to take is salt-based, and it's for mood. Like, they've used it for maybe not 100 years, but quite a while. You know what? You can go to Melbourne Museum, and you can see the tablet that I take every day on display.
Really?
Yeah. Not my own personal, I didn't give it to them, but... Yeah, it's like you go into this really delightful mental illness ward, wing, and man, if you've got any sort of mental problems, do not go in there. It is worse than the ghost train ride at the show. But they've got medications and treatments and stuff there,
which is helpful. You would hope.
Well, it's helpful, but it's like I went to the museum. This is not derogatory about the museum at all, but I went there with my dad and his relative. Oh, a couple of years ago, I said, look, you can go in this bit. I'm staying out here.
I often wonder if they're called the mental health wing, because you really would like to have wings and fly away.
Man, if I had wings, it'd make signing my autograph very hard, but how good would it be if you had wings? You could slap someone in the face, but it would be soft and gentle at the same time.
Unless, of course, you're that, Christopher Walken as an archangel. Hasn't he played that? At some point, he plays the really mean angel type thing, and the Wolverine of angels.
The Wolverine of angels, that'd be a good position. Talk about getting famous and getting paid. Imagine getting paid to be a Wolverine angel.
That could be it. That could be the answer. That definitely could be the answer. Well, from an autistic to someone who experiences depression, I say let's just embrace the Wolverine angel metaphor for the moment.
Yeah,
I think that works. So what do you think at the moment of this Sydney to Hobart yacht race thing, I'm really puzzled by, you know, it's such a famous event for people that are not famous like us. It's such a famous thing. What do you think of that? I'm a bit confused.
Well, I think that it seems to be made up of millionaires and rich people, and I think they need to make it more accessible to everyday Australians.
So we could inflate our pool dinghies and get out there, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to get Barry the tradie from Seaford who's going to enter in his tinny.
No, it might be a bit dangerous for Barry the tradie from Seaford, I think, but the premise is good. The premise is good. Let's go with it. I mean, I'm fascinated by the names of these yachts. You've got things like Wild Oats. If you had Wild Oats in the middle of a choppy sea, isn't that like soggy porridge?
Yeah, and I think that technically Wild Oats are in the field, so they should be called, maybe it should be called Farm.
Farm, that'd be good.
Farm.
It's not very glamorous, is it? It's not sort of fame-evoking, you know, heroes forging through. I mean, anyone's a friggin' hero if they've paid $4.7 million for the yacht and paid the team for how much?
Well, there's that, and there's like, if you've got $4.7 million to spend, how much do you have to have left over? Like, it's not as if you're going to go, all right, I'm going to buy a boat, and that's going to be my living.
Yeah.
Unless you're a pirate.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, for what's the name of this tradie from our metaphorical tradie from Seaford in his tinny?
His name's Barry. He lives near the football oval that they've converted into a workyard, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Barry and his tinny, no, what would he name his tinny?
He would name his tinny Madeline because he's always had a thing for Madeline who works in reception.
Yes, of course.
Because tradies have receptionists, don't they?
Some do. Wealthier tradies. So we're talking about this thing. Yeah, I imagine. He's most likely to be married to her already.
Yes.
So maybe their ambitions for being in the Sydney to Hobart might be a little restrained. But
wouldn't you love... if you had like an interview with the winning... I know they're not called captains, but skipper. And it says skipper, Barry, who is also a tradie.
Yeah. You sure he wouldn't call his boat Bunnings? Oh, I called it a boat.
He could cook snags on it.
It was cool Bunnings, not cool Runnings.
You could have Bunnings and then like a rival boat, like an arch rival would be like Mitre 10.
And home hardware and get a sponsorship deal.
Yeah, you could have, what was the other one that went bankrupt? Masters could be like a submarine.
Yeah, the Submariners class in the Sydney to Hobart for the not famous.
Yeah, where's the submarine race?
Yeah, that would be a little bit hard to televise, I expect.
And commentary would be quite difficult.
Yeah, you could all be a bit like when you try and talk to someone with a snorkel on.
Can we get like a journalist that we don't like to just follow them the whole race? Actually, there's another race, snorkeling Sydney to Hobart.
Yeah, that'd be good. We could grab Andrew Bolt for that one. I reckon he's a perfect candidate, and accompanied by Alan Jones.
Yeah, I think you'd have to make sure the snorkel had no open end, like you just sort of seal it.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd work wonders. I'm sure there'd be a few members of the Australian population that would pay to see that. Yes.
Oh, I'd do it for free.
Yeah, I'd do it for free as well. But yeah, so it's really interesting that this huge yacht race has become so incredibly famous, because like we talk about being not famous and the implications for art and comedy and everything else is that, you know, sport gets funded. It gets funded by everybody.
Yeah.
And like, the 15% chance of getting a grant for something, even if it's really worthwhile in the comedy world, it's about a 15% chance, and that's across all the arts. Yeah, it's pretty sad. And it's like, so I think it's time to revel in the not famous Sydney to Hobart yacht race and create something quite meaningful with it.
Why don't we just screw them and we'll do a Hobart to Sydney yacht race?
Yeah.
And they can pass each other. We'll do it on the same day so they can pass each other and they're going, where are you going, Hobart? Where are you going, Sydney? Much better.
Yeah, so apologies to Hobart, anyone in Hobart listening right now, which is chances are we'll get a distribution in these podcasts of 10. But yeah, I just, this whole concept just, it totally fries my brain. Millions and millions and millions of dollars are spent, and we all sit and cheer them. And like, you know, and then you have these other people that do it for charity, and they go further in tougher conditions in less equipped boats, and they have to GoFundMe to go.
And
we don't worship them, which I think is pretty sad.
Well, yeah, that thing, it just reminds me with sport is, I'm sure you could do it with the Sydney or Hobart, is the gambling aspect of it as well.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? You either GoFundMe if it's something worthwhile and it's actually a heroic endeavour, and you bet on it if it's a whole lot of millionaires already in with super technology that could probably just do it on a Sunday anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I think we have to change the paradigm here.
Well, it's always blown my mind in terms of, we'll talk about Sydney and Hobart, is like the money, like you say, that's involved. But there's no job interview for comedy. There's no job interview for acting. You can't apply for a comedy job on Seek or anything like that. It's really, you're sort of blindfolded, really, in terms of where you go. Like, and there's not even a stepladder that you go up to get a career. It's just different for everyone.
Yeah, it's interesting. And like, you know, a lot of us video our performances and listen back, and you know, we're not really we're listening to our jokes and where they land and how well they land. And you know, there's awful lot of funny people in Melbourne. There's also a lot of funny people all over Australia, and you know, we're all in pubs and clubs and whatever opportunity we can get. Some of us who experience disability or experience, you know, our own range of mental health problems as well, including myself, it sometimes means we're a bit limited in where and how we can perform. Well, for me, I am, because that's why I pick small intimate venues and do fringes and things, because it's better. But, you know, like Sydney, how about if we take that model or take that business model, and maybe we should apply that to comedy in the future? We'll give ourselves really elaborate names that have absolutely no meaning whatsoever. What else do we do?
Oh, man, can I call myself Roll-Ups?
Roll-Ups?
Because it's like, it's the ad that they had when I was a kid was Real Fruit Flat Out.
Yeah.
And I'm, as a kid, I'm like, it is Real Fruit and it is Flat Out. That's gold.
Yep, yeah. You have like Real Jokes Flat Out or Real
Fruit? What about Real Jokes Flat? Because that implies that you're bad, but then you just blow them away.
You just get on stage and go, yeah, and everyone laughs. Yeah, that'd work. So Roll-Ups. I think my yacht, my Sydney to Hobart Comedy Fest yacht, not, which we should call it a yacht. Would we even call it a boat? I know boats.
Well, it could be like the Birdman Rally, you just make your own.
Yeah, sure. I make it out of paddle pop sticks. There's an exercise.
And you could dress as the paddle pop lion.
Yeah, that'd work. And then I'd call it something about lion to be here. I don't know. There's a line in that somewhere.
I'm not lying, I'm going to win.
I'm not lying, I'm going to win.
Yeah, you can write that one down and tell your friends.
There we go.
Good.
Do you have anything you want me to plug?
Oh, look, I think just Andy Lewis Comedy, not like Twitter and Instagram, it's pretty easy to remember because it's the same on both. But I'm starting to do busking in Shannon Mall in Frankston. Between the hours of 9 to 5, I don't know. Well, I won't be there every day, but just I'm trying to get down there.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, that's it for the listeners at home. Where is it?
It's Shannon Mall in Frankston. It's near Quayside.
Yep.
Sort of like across the road from Hoyt Cinemas. And I just get up and just interact with people, tell a few jokes, make some stuff up. And, seems to work.
Have a laugh on the street.
Yeah, and you don't have to give me money. Like, it'd be great if you did, but it's kind of something I do for free and for enjoyment.
Hey, thanks so much, Andrew, for coming on today to...
Thank you.
Not Famous and Not That Funny. Stay tuned. We're going to launch our own version of the Sydney to Hobart Comedy Fest in the near future. Thanks very much. Have a great Sunday, Arvo. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Bye. That was Not Famous and Not That Funny. Tune in next fortnight when I bring you another Not Famous and Funny comedian. Cheers.